Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, hi.
Hey man, what's up?
Oh, you know, just recovering from the weekend.
Yeah, you have a good weekend. Did anything fun happen? Did you enjoy watching football, playing this lovely game of fantasy football that we so dearly love and don't hate?
Well, I think one of us probably had a little bit of a better time of it on more Monday than Sunday. I had a pretty good Sunday, but for those of you who can't read the subtext here, I was defeated this week by our very own Dr. Stu, and he's being pretty nice about it. He's being gracious in victory and not rubbing my nose in it when I have rubbed his nose in it a lot when I beat him. So he's a better person than me. Although I kind of wish he would rub my nose in a little bit. Stu, you got anything you've been sitting on that you wanted to say here?
No. You know, I've found in my experience that the universe, when you taunt people, when you talk down to them, when you try to gloat a little bit, it's always coming back around at you. And I'm well versed in the negative karma realm of life, so I'm not really one to taunt too much. I do, however, want you to tell the people out there, when was the last time before yesterday that I beat you, James?
I believe it was week 2, 2021. I think that's right.
It was some 4 years. Yeah, it was over 1,400 days since I last defeated your team, so I don't think you have too much to be ashamed of. But, you know, it's all streaks have to end someday.
I wish this one didn't. I was having fun with it. But we got a nice show planned for you all today. We got very positive feedback from our new format last time, so we're going to continue doing it. We have all 16 NFL games ready to break down with all the fantasy names you need to know. We are going to start with Thursday Night Football, finish with Monday Night Football, both Monday Night Footballs, and we will see how quickly we can do this. So, Dr. Stu, you want to lead us off with the Thursday Night Tilt?
Yeah, absolutely. Some important things to talk about in this first matchup. The Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, are heading to Seattle on Thursday night. The Seahawks are 1.5 favorites, and the over-under is 43.5 for that game. So last week I was saying implied point total. That's not correct. But the biggest news in this game pertaining to these two teams is the unfortunate injury to James Conner, James Kemp. So high ankle sprain for James Conner in week 3's game. He is expected to be undergoing surgery and out for the season. Real shame for him. Love James Conner. We both stood on the table for James Conner in our draft considerations on Fantasy Foot Beer. And it's just a shame. He's gotten a little bit older. I am hesitant to think whether his fantasy days are over or if he's going to have some relevancy as maybe a backup when he catches back on in later years. But he's out for the season. We've got to talk about the immediate backup, that being Trey Benson, who's a young guy. He shows some flashes. He's very explosive. He absolutely needs to be rostered in every league if he isn't already. I know he's been one of the more popular backups, but he is shunted into that starting role, and you could probably expect some low RB2, RB3 numbers for him here in the beginning, and perhaps even a bit more if he flourishes under this new responsibility. So one guy that you got to be aware of there. If you had James Conner, you know, you got to be scrambling for something else to do there. But the Cardinals are on the road. It's going to be a tough matchup, absolutely. You got people like Kyler Murray. Are we starting Kyler Murray on the road? He's been low quarterback one, high quarterback two, very pedestrian, mediocre play. I'm not thrilled to start him, but there's very likely leagues out there that you're not going to have too many other options. The automatic starts, however, Trey McBride, pretty much the only one for the Cardinals. And then you've got Marvin Harrison Jr., who's been pretty disappointing so far. He's dropping wide open passes. He's getting clowned by the defense when he does so. It was honestly really funny. But he's not a locked-in start. Maybe a wide receiver three going into this matchup. But if you could find a different person to flex or start over him, I would not be ashamed of that. On the flip side, the Seahawks at home, we've got Sam Darnold, their quarterback, most likely out there on your waiver wire. He's not been too popular of a pickup. He's been maybe even a little more mediocre than Kyler Murray, and I don't expect that really to change, even if Arizona's defense is not super robust. One person that is locked into your lineup is JSN, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He's something like the wide receiver 4 or 5 on the season right now, which is pretty dang impressive for a guy that was falling into the 3rd or the 4th round or something like that. So great for him. We've also got Cooper Kupp. He's going to be on your benches most likely. And then we've got the running back stable. A little bit of a hodgepodge over here. Zach Charbonnet, the kind of timeshare to Kenneth Walker, missed last week with a foot injury, so very important to monitor his injury status going into Thursday night. I think they projected, if I did read this correctly the other day, they projected that he would have practiced as normal on Monday and Tuesday. But it remains to be seen if he's going to be playing. Kenneth Walker had a great week 3 in Charbonnet's absence, but if they're both together, they're still reasonable starting options. You just kind of have to see which one of them is going to get the production. If both of them are getting
not
the
anybody
volume,
that
James.
I can see,
anyone
that, you
that
missed,
I missed from this Thursday night.
I would
Thursday
throw my vote of confidence there behind starting Kenneth Walker. I think starting against this Cardinals defense, especially, I think this is going to be a week when the Seahawks feast a little bit. But let's go ahead and move on to our next game, which is in lovely Dublin, Ireland. I personally am a huge fan of the European games. You get to wake up and football is probably already on, depending on where you're waking up. For me, it starts at 8:30, so I'm usually up at about 6 with the dog, so I get to be up, make a little coffee, chill a little bit, and then I don't have to wait till noon for football. But we've got the Vikings and the Steelers. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites in this game. I would probably take the Steelers to... I don't know. I like the Steelers this week. But let's start with the Vikings. Quarterback Carson Wentz is going to continue leading this team again. Again, J.J. McCarthy with an ankle injury. He has been ruled out again this week. Carson Wentz, despite, you know, being Carson Wentz, did lead the team fairly well. Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson got their looks, especially Hockenson, finally scored at all. Also worth noting that Jordan Addison is back this week. So if you, for some reason, were squatting on Adam Thielen, time to let that dream go. And I'm not exactly excited about Jordan Addison as far as his fantasy production. We have seen him be relevant before, and I would love to see him be relevant again, but we just kind of got to temper expectations with this Vikings offense. It's very confusing. It seems like it can produce, but at other times just seems very anemic. But one thing we did get right last week was that Jordan Mason was going to be a must start, and that is even despite the Vikings being down 2 starting O-linemen. Aaron Jones, of course, remains injured. He's projected to be back around late October, so Jordan Mason is going to be a pretty consistent start for at least the next month. But moving over to the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, I believe right now he's like the QB14 in most formats. He has been here and there okay, but probably still not someone you're looking to start. Jaylen Warren, on the other hand, has been surprisingly useful, despite me having fully no faith in him at all. He is currently set up as an RB1. I believe he is the RB12 right now. He's a start. He's somebody who has been plug-and-playable, and I would continue looking at that this week. For your receivers, excuse me, DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin More DK Metcalf than Calvin Austin. Neither of these guys are going to be horribly consistent. DK Metcalf, you'll start for the ceiling mostly. He's going to get you floor enough to be a wide receiver too, but you hope that he gets a score or at least enough volume to be worth it. Calvin Austin is not a start, just a name to be looking at if you are in a pretty deep league and looking for some stashes. And then there's, of course, Jonnu Smith, who is not startable, I think, at this point either. But, again, deeper leagues. If you need a tight end who's going to get you something, he could be an option for you. Not one that I'm exactly endorsing. Stu, any thoughts on any of those guys there?
No, not really. It's just you said you were a big fan of the European games, and that's great. It's great for, you know, the game, the fans. You get to watch football a little more all day than it is crammed into a few hours. You get to pick and actually watch more games in their entirety. The offense, you know, the production that you get from these players may not always be the same when they're on their home soil. A lot of these guys come in jet lagged. It's a huge travel onus on these people. So I've never really been a huge fan of the European games from a fantasy standpoint, and that's something we may have to bake into our expectations for the players of the Steelers and the Vikings. Especially, you know, the Vikings players, I mean, they're not at home. They're robbed of a home game, and that kind of stinks. But C'est la vie. We'll see what happens over there in Dublin. Is this the first time they've ever gone to Dublin?
Dublin is a place where they would play, but I can't think of a time when they have played over there. There's obviously been college games there forever, but yeah, this might be the first time.
Yeah.
We might be breaking the news right now. Mm-hmm. Shut up. All right, take your Eagles.
Yeah, nobody cares about college football, so yeah. Well, Next up is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just get to talk about more injuries. There's so many injuries in Week 3, it felt like. Mike Evans with a hamstring issue, you know, the quintessential Mike Evans injury. He's getting further imaging on it. I don't think they've announced exactly how long he's going to be out. But he's probably going to be out for at least a couple to maybe several weeks, and you're going to have to find something to replace him with. And the Buccaneers could very well be replacing him with another wide receiver, Chris Godwin, who has been ramping up his practice schedule, looking to make his season debut. Could very well be this week, maybe Week 5. We don't really know, hasn't been announced yet, but that'll be a boon for them and their wide receiver core. Will you start Chris Godwin against the Eagles in his first game back on the road? I wouldn't slam my fist down on that. I'd like to see exactly how he's looking on a football field before starting him in my lineups. But you do want to be starting Emeka Egbuka. You know, there's a few other credible pass catchers in the wide receiver core. I mean, Sterling Shepard is there if you want to get him on IR. Or not IR, but off of the waiver wire. Jalen McMillan is on the IR. So they're kind of thin right now, whether Chris Godwin plays or does not play. Bucky Irving is still a start, even if, you know, you're not super excited about going up against the Eagles. And then Baker Mayfield's still a start, too. He's really been slinging the rock, and he's easily a QB1 this week, even if he is playing against a tough Philadelphia Eagles defense. Now, all of you A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith owners, just let out a breath. Congratulations, you got some production out of those guys. What a weird game for the Eagles, though, James. I really, this isn't what the Eagles are trying to do. They were down by, it was 26-7 or something early on, and then they went on to score 26 unanswered points to defeat the Rams last week. You know, Jalen Hurts was forced to throw, and that's probably not what's going to happen all the time. This upcoming week against the Buccaneers, they may very well have to, because the Buccaneers are no slouch as far as a franchise. But I would take this production, and I said, look at kind of trading these guys last week, and I still am kind of on that bandwagon right now. So maybe I'm wrong, but you could maybe get a little bit more interest now that A.J. Brown has had a very good week. It's just, you know, they want to lean on Saquon Barkley. They want to lean on their defense, and they want to grind out boring, ho-hum wins. And that's just the model that they're going for, and it's extremely successful. So you're starting Saquon Barkley. I think you still can start A.J. Brown and perhaps Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert, fine as well. perfectly fine for a tight end start, and then Jalen Hurts isn't going to be benched for any reason, so it's just starts all down the board, I suppose.
Yep,
pretty easy matchup to talk about, James. You want
to
take us to New Orleans?
Here we have the Saints and the Bills. Buffalo at home in this one, a 16.5-point favorite. And I think based on the ways things have been going with the Saints, this is something that, despite it being an enormous spread, the Bills could actually very easily cover. The Saints are bad, and they're going to continue to be bad. However, something interesting about the Saints right now, and specifically about Spencer Rattler, in a lot of formats of fantasy football, Spencer Rattler is a top 12 quarterback, which is kind of shocking to me, considering, you know, he's a very bad passer, but he is. I do not think that he's going to give you consistent enough production to be startable ever, but just an interesting fact. Maybe we're too stupid to see the light on this. Maybe Spencer Rattler is secretly really good. I don't think he is. But someone that you can still start, I think, is Alvin Kamara. He had a rough week this past Sunday. I think despite the fact that he is playing the vaunted Bills defense, you can still start him, largely because there's not that many better options if you drafted Alvin Kamara. For the receivers, these guys have been confusing you all year long and probably are going to continue doing that. I am still going to say, however, Chris Olave, if you can start him in the flex, is a start. If you have to start him as a wide receiver too, you can, but I'm still not feeling great about it. He has had on and off production so far. And as I said, Spencer Rattler is not a great quarterback. The Bills defense is very good, and it's going to be targeting Chris Olave since he's really one of only three offensive options that they legitimately have. Rashid Shaheed is there, not a legitimate option. Juwan Johnson, however, might be. He has been a tight end one throughout this season so far, and I think he continues doing that. It's just I don't know what's going to happen against this Bills defense. I don't feel great about him there. I would consider, if you have someone else sitting him, despite the fact that Juwan Johnson has showed nothing but production so far this year. But moving over to the Bills, obviously Josh Allen, auto start. James Cook currently sitting as the RB2. Auto start. He has had a phenomenal start to the season. Dalton Kincaid, Stu, we were remarking about this together last week. Dalton Kincaid looked incredible in his Thursday night game, and he could have looked even better. He caught one touchdown, he dropped another, and he could have had a third. So Dalton Kincaid getting the kind of production that you like to see out of a guy like him, and with guys like Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir not offering consistent production, I kind of really like Dalton Kincaid at the tight end position. Stu, what do you think of Dalton Kincaid?
The only thing that worries me about Dalton Kincaid is I think he was, what was his snap count? I think I read it was something like 50%. Like, he was getting really targeted when he was on the field, but he wasn't on the field, you know, that much. And it just feels like the Bills are kind of, you know, this person's hot week three, this person's going to be hot week four, but there's really no rhyme or reason as to who gets hot, whether it's the Colemans, the Shakirs, the, you know, Kincaid's.
Probably not.
I almost
want to
say a Dawson Knox right there. I don't think he's going to be the one that gets hot. But as far as tight ends go, I mean, you could start Dalton Kincaid and hope for a home run. I mean, you're doing that with Mark Andrews, and look what that gave you last.
I'm set.
Last night. So,
take it, baby.
If you're set, are you set? Are you ready for me to take us to? All right, we're heading to Carolina Patriots. New England Patriots going against the Carolina Panthers. The Patriots are 5.5 road favorites, and the over/under is 43.5 points. A lot of 43.5 points. All of my games have been 43.5 over/unders so far. Starting with the visiting New England Patriots, Drake May is a start in this game. Obviously, going up against Carolina, he's actually been quite good this year. He was one of the very popular breakout candidates in draft prep, and he's living up to it so far. It's not always pretty. He does fumble a little bit. He fumbled against the Steelers last week, but it's getting the job done. And speaking of fumbles, I don't know if all of you watched the game, but the running back stable for the Patriots is an interesting quandary right now. So Travion Henderson, in the week leading up to week three, a lot was said about his failures in pass protection and how everyone was concerned about his getting work going forward. And that kind of stayed true in week three. But Ramondre Stevenson, the man who just cannot stop fumbling to save his life, fumbles. I think he fumbled twice. And then Antonio Gibson, who came in and got carries directly after that, also fumbled. So it is just a toss-up. Who's going to get the rock to start week four? Henderson, Stevenson, probably not Gibson, but your guess is as good as mine. Someone's going to have to do it. If I had to start someone back against the wall, it's going to be Ramondre, most likely. In the wide receiver core, also another quandary as well. So Stephon Diggs, the very, you know, publicized signing for them in New England, he's basically been absent. Kayshon Booty's gotten some buzz. He's caught some touchdowns, but two receptions against Pittsburgh, 28 yards, so flashes, but not sustainable. The real pass catcher that is really, you know, lighting the world on fire is tight end Hunter Henry. And you could do far worse at your tight end position. If he's still on your wire, you should go and get him. I mean, he had 8 receptions, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns on 11 targets last game. It's not always consistent, you know. It seems to be a trend for New England. Like in Miami, he only had 3 targets. But again, as far as tight ends go, you could do a lot worse at this point. As far as the team opposite them, the Panthers, we've got a sit candidate in Bryce Young. Start candidate in Chuba Hubbard. I don't think there's any reason to not start Chuba Hubbard. And then Tet McMillan, while disappointing in week three, he's still going to be a good wide receiver two flex target for people. And other than that, I don't think you need to concentrate on too much. I do want to mention the guy that I shouted out last week, Jatavion Sanders, the tight end who is now hurt. So I am so sorry for putting that bad juju on you, Mr. Sanders. He's no longer a consideration for anything, James.
I don't think you missed anything, or we but I think it's worth like mentioning for the people, like the Panthers unexpectedly blowing out the Falcons 30-0. How did that happen? Where did that come from? Who was expecting that? So if that sort of thing continues, I'm very much looking at my Chuba Hubbards and Tet McMillans as kind of must starts this week. Not saying Tet McMillan or Chuba Hubbard, either of those guys are like top options, but you know, Patriots don't have a very good defense. This could be another barn burner. But I will take us to Commanders and the Atlanta Falcons, which I just shouted out. Commanders traveling to Atlanta as 1.5 favorites. Have not heard the status on Jaden Daniels. I think that Mariota is still expected to start. I'm not exactly sure on that one. But if he is, we didn't exactly see a lot to be excited about from the Commies last week. Debo Samuel had a down week after a very hot start. Terry McLaurin is still yet to find his footing. Zach Ertz hasn't found his footing. And in his first legitimate start as the top guy with no real competition, Jacoby Crosby-Merritt also didn't really produce a lot. It's almost like Jaden Daniels is really important to this offense. So monitor that situation as the week goes on. If Jaden Daniels plays, I think that he, Debo, I almost want to say Terry, become must starts again. Jacoby Crosby-Merritt, I would like to see him get some heightened production this week, but I think it all kind of depends on those moving pieces there. For the home team, the Atlanta Falcons, obviously Bijan Robinson is a must start. Outside that, probably not a lot. As you guys may know, Michael Penix got benched for Kirk Cousins last week, and Kirk Cousins wasn't that good either. Michael Penix is expected to start again. That leaves some questions for Drake London. Drake London, we all know who he is. We all know he's a very talented football player, very talented wide receiver. But this quarterback situation is not conducive to strong receiver play. So I think that for us, I would like to sit him as a mid to low level wide receiver too. And I'm not excited to start him. I know that you drafted him to be a wide receiver one. I said the same thing last week. He is not getting consistent balls thrown to him. He is not able to catch consistently the balls that are thrown to him. So there's a lot to be worried about there. Same with Kyle Pitts, who I think should, you know, level out this year to be probably a top 12 tight end. Level your expectations a little bit. Tyler Algier, can't start him. Darnell Mooney, can't start him. Stu, quick comment before we go to the next one. I think you've been flipping your home teams.
I have, right. Yeah. I'm there realizing that.
Only I the sure best, have, but most I've fixed consistently it. Accurate content for you, our listeners here. Stu, you want to take us to Rock City, mm-hmm. Detroit?
Yeah. I've been flipping my home and away teams, but at least I can know that his name is Ja'Cory Crossman.
All right, yep, like I said, only the most consistent Ja'Cory.
That's okay.
His name is Bill. His name is Bill.
Only the most accurate and consistent. We just call him Bill. You can't mix up Bill. Okay, so I get to handle the Browns and the Lions. The Browns going to Detroit. Yes, the Lions are 9.5-point favorites with an over-under of 44.5. So I'm going to start with the Lions because they're more exciting as a team. You know, the Browns defense did shut down the Packers very surprisingly on Sunday, and I have to give them credit for that. I will say I think Detroit is a whole nother beast, so I'm not really hesitating to start my guys from Detroit. Jahmyr Gibbs is a far and away RB1, perhaps on the lower end of RB1s. And then we've got Amon-Ra, wide receiver one. Stop, you know, overthinking things. Start your studs. And David Montgomery is, I think, worthwhile as a start against the Ravens on Monday night. I mean, both running backs were running wild, Gibbs and Montgomery. I do think Montgomery gets enough interest in an offense that is so, you know, that it's hitting its stride, really, and they're blowing the doors off of people. So I think he's well worth a look as an RB2 or maybe even a flex target. There's, you know, a lot of inconsistent production across the league, and I think Montgomery is one that you can look to in this situation. Jameson Williams for those nice home run passes, those deep balls. He's not going to catch a whole lot. He's not targeted super often, but he does have a game-breaking ability. He can be worth a start, you know, if you're feeling saucy or you're already projected to, you know, go up against one of the higher scoring teams in the league. Jared Goff, he's a start candidate. I wouldn't, you know, be super thrilled about him. He's probably not one that you're drafted to be your first quarterback. So if you have another option, you know, against this defense that can get after the quarterback a little bit and a guy that's not very mobile in Jared Goff that doesn't run super well, I'd be okay sitting him in favor of someone else. People like Isaac Tislaw, while very exciting, and are sit candidates, and so is Khalif Raymond. Flipping over to the Browns. Lots of different things to consider here. Joe Flacco is not one of them. One guy to get excited about is Quinshon Judkins, the rookie. He's now played in, what, two games? And he has been far and away the best rookie running back so far. And that's counting Ashton Jeanty. That's counting Trevion Henderson. If you want to count Caleb Johnson, he's also doing better than Caleb Johnson. So Judkins he's worked his way into a start consideration. One thing you may want to be a little bit hesitant about is if Detroit, their offense does seem to score pretty well on the Browns, he may be kind of relegated out if his pass-catching ability is not really coming into form. He's had, you know, a couple of targets, about four receptions in the two games that he's played, so not exactly something that you can really bank on if the game script gets out of hand. Wide receivers, Cedric Tillman, Jerry Jeudy. Neither of those guys are people that I want to start. We really thought that Joe Flacco would be better for these guys. It hasn't really come to fruition. They're not drop candidates quite yet, but they're not going to be start candidates for me right now. Someone who is a drop candidate is Dylan Sampson, the running back, rookie running back, alongside Quinshon Judkins. It looks like Jerome Ford's getting the third down work, and if Quinshon's going to be doing well, Dylan Sampson, who was a popular pickup after week one, he's by the wayside. You can let him go. Tight ends, we've got David Njoku, and as well rookie Harold Fannin. Both of those pretty mediocre options this week, I think. Njoku, I could see starting, but I don't think Fannin's going to sniff my lineups.
Let's
in
hit
week
the next
four,
one.
James.
We got Titans,
how are we doing
Texans,
so far?
I'm sure
ready to take us to the next one?
You are just chomping at the bit to watch. This is going to be a quick one, guys. Titans and Texans both are very not good teams. The Texans are 6.5-point favorites, but I almost don't expect them to cover that because they just kind of seem like they have no vision on offense. CJ Stroud looks like he's regressing still. The only guy who's worth starting for the Texans is Nico Collins. I really think there's no one else worth considering. For the visiting Titans, Tony Pollard, also worth starting in a low RB2 or flex capacity. He did have a good week last week, but Elik Eomanor, I don't think I've ever seen his name pronounced the same way twice. Stu, how would you pronounce his name? Eomanor? I've heard it Eomanor. I've heard it Eomanor.
I think it's Eomanor.
By announcers, not just Eomanor. By us. But I think any Titans receiver is basically ruled out. Obviously, Cam Ward is ruled out to start. It's really just Nico Collins and Tony Pollard in this game. I don't trust anybody else. I wouldn't want to trust anybody else. You might consider, actually, the Texans' defense in this one as a spot start, but I am just so excited for Red Zone to forget about this game on Sunday and show all of the others. Stu, did I basically get that one? Yeah.
Oh, that's a gross matchup. The AFC South is such garbage. I mean, these teams are vying to get their first win, yes, both of them. So they're the bottom of what you know what they call the AFC South. They call it a gross mountain of feces. So anyway, one person that I do kind of want to highlight on the Texans, and this is not for starting consideration, but at least on the very ends of benches, you know, Nick Chubb is pedestrian at this point in his career. Love Nick Chubb, but he's not giving you the fantasy results that you really want. But Woody Marks has been upping his snap share every single week, and he's up to 50% at this point. So it could very well be that they start to turn towards the young guy just to see if they can get some sort of spark and life to this listless Texans offense. So just one quick thing. Next couple of teams that we're talking about. Oh, God. Of course it ends up with me talking about this one. The Chargers heading to MetLife to face off against the Giants. And my God, James, I didn't think it would happen, but I also didn't think it would happen this early. The Giants are starting Jackson Dart. They are benching Russell
Wilson.
I'm going
to win this bet.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I'm not praying for injury. I would never pray for anybody's injury, but there's no way they're benching him, right?
I don't know.
Like, they're in it until the end with him, barring injury. Like, you can't just start the kid and then bench the kid and then start the kid, bench the kid. You're going to just ruin their development. You got to go let him swim. Like, these coaches are coaching for their jobs.
No, it's the Giants we're talking about. It's not like we're talking about a competent franchise.
Can do.
Anything could happen.
And he's got I suppose, but like they get a stern test. I mean, they're at home, and that's really, really cool for them. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! But the Chargers' defense is actually pretty darn good. And, you know, I would not want to be in Dart's shoes. Malik Nabers is still a start, no matter who is throwing him the ball. You got to think about that. Running backs, we do have to talk about Tyrone Tracy. believe he's hurt his shoulder in last week's game and is going to be out for maybe 2 to 4 weeks, something like that is the last that I saw. And then Cam Scataboo had a great week in relief of the injured Tracy. He seems to be in mid-breakout. He runs with reckless abandon, and he's very much a start candidate, maybe a tepid start candidate, like an RB3, RB2, if you're feeling saucy kind of start candidate. He got 6 receptions last week, but of course that's with a quarterback in Russell Wilson that can check it down. We have no idea what Dart is going to be. He's going to be a complete, you know, unknown factor, and that's kind of tough to trust with a burgeoning rookie like Cam Scataboo. Wandale Robinson is still an inconsistent player. I don't think you want to be starting him in this sort of situation, even if they are at home. And there's not much else to consider on this Giants team. So let's talk about the pass-happy Chargers. Justin Herbert, I know they're on the road, but he's starting. He's in the top 10 of quarterbacks for me this week. And talking more injuries. Why am I talking about all the injuries? This is just making me sad. Najee Harris, in the growing list of pro athletes that are tearing their Achilles tendon, he's out for the year. It's just starting from a standstill and then trying to explode puts so much stress on that tendon. It just snaps and it's awful. But Omarion Hampton is now the guy. He's going to get the lion's share of everything. Any backups that are going to spell him are negligible. So Omarion Hampton's going to have to sink or swim. He did score his first touchdown, so that's great for him. And he gets, you know, a stern defensive front in the Giants to start things out. As far as pass catchers, Keenan Allen, if you're not starting him now, you need to get him into your lineup. I don't care how you do it. Keenan Allen is the safety blanket on this team. Every third down, Justin Herbert is looking for Keenan Allen. He caught 3 touchdowns the other day. Get him in your lineup. I don't care how you do it. Quentin Johnston is still a kind of a wide receiver 3 start for me. I'm still tepid on Quentin Johnston. Maybe I'll come around one day. He's a reasonable start or a flex in, you know, deeper leagues or 3 wide receiver leagues. Ladd McConkey has been disappointing, it's true, but I still think he is a start, especially in a game against the Giants. You know, the Chargers are going to be able to pass pretty well. It's coming, okay? Ladd McConkey is not going to be this bad all season long, even if Keenan Allen's kind of taking his thunder. But I want to shout out my boy Cameron Dicker, Dicker the Kicker, most accurate kicker in NFL history right now. Love that guy. He's on my team, if you hadn't noticed. He should be in your lineups, too.
Yeah. And
James,
who would have thought,
why don't you talk to us about
Ladd
the Jags
McConkey
and the
would
Niners?
Be the third wide receiver in this offense at this point. Quentin Johnson and Keenan Allen have looked fantastic. Start all your Chargers. But let's head over to San Francisco and Levi's Stadium, where the 49ers are taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the 49ers are 3.5-point favorites. Interesting that they're only 3.5-point favorites, but part of that is probably due to the fact that we are still not completely sure about Brock Purdy's availability this week. We think he's expected back, but he is probably going to be rushed back even if he's not ready, because Mac Jones is also hurt. He had a PCL injury this week, and the 49ers just continue to be injury-riddled. Juwan Jennings is expected to be back this week, but is officially day-to-day. George Kittle, as you know, is still out until mid-October. Ricky Pearsall had a nice game on Saturday. He is probably going to have the Jaguars' top corner covering him, since there's really no one else except for Juwan Johnson to cover here. And Christian McCaffrey is obviously an auto start here. I would temper expectations on Brock Purdy's, Brock Purdy's fantasy production this week. I think that we've seen other streaming guys who have been more reliable who I would start over Brock Purdy in his first game back here. Christian McCaffrey, however, absolute must start. As for the Jaguars, I kind of like the Jaguars, Stu. Like, I know this is a game against a decently tough defense, but I've
fold.
Watched a lot of the Jaguars playing this year, and I don't think they're as bad as people think they are. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is as far away from being usable as people think he is, and I think that despite the kind of hiccups, somewhere between hiccups and straight up, like, just being bad that the wide receivers in Jacksonville have had, I think they're better than people think they are. Travis Etienne breaking back out has been crucial to this, especially through the air. Brian Thomas has to get it figured out. Brian Thomas has to be able to figure out what he had last year, stop dropping balls, stop making Trevor Lawrence question giving you the ball because you are too damn good to be this bad. Brian Thomas is someone who should be a no-question wide receiver one and is playing like a borderline flex candidate. And he's getting the volume to be usable, but last week showed that if you can't be trusted, you're not going to get the volume either. So I think right now, for this week, I think you maybe think about not starting your wide receiver one in Brian Thomas, and you think about somebody else. Think about those three Chargers receivers there. I like Huge, I like Keenan, I like Ladd. If you got one, start him over Brian Thomas. We also got Bashaw Tootin there in Jacksonville, one of the most fun names to say in the NFL. He is still not startable, despite the fact that if Travis Etienne goes down, I think he is. And then you've got your other wide receivers of Dyami Brown and Travis Hunter, also not startable. Travis Hunter, I think, has become what we kind of expected him to be, and that is not fantasy relevant. He's kind of been exposed to be pretty average in both offense and defense. I think he's probably droppable for the time being. But I like the Jags for some reason. I'm not really sure why, but I like the Jags. Stu, take us to Lar.
Lar, yes. Would you have guessed that the Colts at the Rams is the highest over-under of this week? Because I wouldn't have guessed that.
I do like
that.
This game, though.
By just a point. But yeah, so the Rams are 3.5-point home favorites, and the Colts get the sternest test that they have faced all season. So this is a Rams defense that held the Eagles for a little bit. You know, it didn't happen the entirety of the game there on Sunday, but the Colts are going to be up against it in this game. Jonathan Taylor is still an automatic start. If you consider benching him, you don't deserve him. I do think the pass catchers, Warren and Pittman Jr., are both starts as well. Warren, of course, being a tight end one, he's leading the Colts in targets right now, so there's no reason to bench him in a game that could very well turn into a pass-happy sort of script for the Colts. Pittman Jr.'s got a couple of scores on the season. He was the only passing score for Daniel Jones this past week, so we know Daniel Jones is looking his way very often and is one of his favorite targets. Jones, I think, is still a start. I think he's proven to us that he is a start until we say otherwise, essentially. We see otherwise. He's up against it. He's going to have to prove it, but he's looked very, very good to start this season, and I'm very excited to see what he can do against a pretty credible defense in the Rams. In addition, Spencer Schrader, always got to shout out the guy, number one kicker so far. The Colts are really good at not punting. They've just punted for the first time in week 3, and if they can't punch it in the end zone, I mean, then they're not punting. There's the field goals for Schrader. On the flip side, we got the Rams. Puka Nacua, in certain scoring formats, he's the wide receiver one. He gets end-around rushes. You should not consider benching him for any reason whatsoever at all. Devontae Adams is a high wide receiver two, I think, this week against the Colts. The Colts' secondary is not anything too crazy, and Devontae Adams has a touchdown in 2 of his first 3 games playing with Matthew Stafford. That said, Matthew Stafford is a quarterback two for me, not startable at this point in 12-team or higher leagues. Older, that's fine. That's all he is. Kyren Williams is a nice RB1 target. He's been pretty impressive overall to start the season, and there's no reason to stop him while he's hot. One guy that I do want to shout out is Blake Corum, whose role seems to be expanding. Blake Corum, the clear handcuff to Kyren Williams, but somebody that, like Trey Benson, we noticed in Arizona, could be thrust into a large role, and he's making the most of the opportunities that he's getting so far this season, and he could very well vault into some credible fantasy starts if Kyren Williams were to ever miss time.
Nope.
James, I don't think there's any tight ends really to consider in
all right here
LA
we go.
So
Chicago
I'm pretty
Bears
set if you want
to
take over for the next
the Roomba, one traveling to the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders come into this one as 1.5 favorites, and I think that is stupid. I think the Bears win this one going away because they seem to have finally figured out their offense. Caleb Williams has all of a sudden become a startable quarterback. Where the hell did that happen? And if you are streaming quarterbacks this week and Caleb Williams is somehow available, he is a absolute start this week. Roma Dunze, that connection between Caleb Williams and his second-year player receiver Roma Dunze is also, I think, a must-start. He's making wide receiver one production, and I think we got to roll with it. There's something there, and I love to see it. DeAndre Swift has also been producing as an RB2. I think he also remains a must-start here. DJ Moore and Luther Burden III have not had the kind of production that we were wanting them to have this year. DJ Moore, obviously the old veteran who has underproduced the past 2 years, and Luther Burden, the rookie, who had a huge game last week, had a really big touchdown catch. I think if you have Bears, the three to start are Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, and DeAndre Swift. I don't think you want to start either tight ends for the Bears, whether it's Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet. I do not think that they are relevant this week. The Bears' defense, however, I think probably is. Over for the Raiders, I think that those young stars of Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty are starting to understand, or at least their owners are starting to understand, that they have to temper expectations while the Raiders continue to just, you know, suck. Geno Smith does not look like the same player he was in Seattle, and while he can on occasion get consistent volume to players like Trey Tucker, who had 8 receptions, 145 yards, and 3 touchdowns last week. Holy crap. It's not going to be consistent. Jacoby Myers has looked like a wide receiver one in some weeks and has looked irrelevant in others. Brock Bowers has really only looked relevant 1 week. And Ashton Jeanty, a guy who a lot of people drafted as their running back one, expecting him to be the guy of the future, makes us kind of wonder, is he able to be a generational talent in this bad of an offense? Was he never that good to begin with, and we just all got duped by the hype machine? I honestly think it's a bit of both, but he is not going to have a good week again this week. I don't expect Brock Bowers to have a great week. I don't expect Jacoby Myers to have a great week. I don't expect Trey Tucker to, you know, probably ever have that sort of game ever again. I am starting Ashton Jeanty as an RB, low RB2. Brock Bowers, you kind of have to start. Nobody else. Stu, take us to Arrowhead.
Yeah, one of these two teams is starting 1-3, the Ravens or the Chiefs. So we've got favorites are the road Ravens for 2.5 points. The over-under is 48.5. So looking to get some offense out of this game is Las Vegas. Let's go ahead and start with the Ravens, who were, you know, they were disappointed yesterday. That's for sure. They showed some holes in their team as a whole. Lamar Jackson likes to try to do a little too much, but he's still a QB1, high-end QB1. There's no reason you're not going to start him, even on the road against the Chiefs. Derrick Henry, for all his fumbling issues, is still going to be a running back one. Don't lose faith in him now. He still looks good when he can keep the ball in his hands. So one thing that isn't super awesome is Zay Flowers kind of disappearing there on Monday night in a game that they really could have used him. Only three targets and two catches for 13 yards is kind of criminal. I think he's still a start as a wide receiver two target, but that kind of stuff is not great to see. Last week, James, we talked a lot about Mark Andrews and whether we could start him. And if you did start him, you're hoping for touchdowns. And he got the most garbage of garbage time touchdowns there at the end of the game. Nobody was trying on that defensive end, and he just kind of waltzes through to get his second score of the game. Six targets is great. Caught all six of them for 91 yards, but I don't think that's going to be consistent for him. He's really still just a boom or bust tight end option for people. Then we've also got Rashad Bateman over there in the wide receivers. Not a startable candidate, but did get a good amount of work there on Monday night. Don't know why that stuff didn't go to Zay Flowers, but oh well. Flipping over to the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He's a QB1 by stats, but he's not a guy that I am super excited to start. I think you have to start him in a game that I think the Chiefs could very well be down in. He'll still perform well enough. He's not going to bust for your fantasy team, but I really don't think he's going to boom either. Wide receivers are still a little bit up in the air. Hollywood Brown has disappointed after week one. He's not a start candidate. Tyquan Thornton has kind of risen to relevancy in the last week or two, catching two touchdowns. He did have nine targets last week, so if you needed a spot start, if you lost Mike Evans or some other wide receiver you needed to bench, you could spot start Tyquan Thornton, see if he's going to go 3 for 3 in his touchdown catching ways. Xavier Worthy is still coming back from that dislocated shoulder. We don't know if he's set to play. If he does play, I'm probably taking the risk in starting him just because of how I think this game is going to go and how Las Vegas thinks it's going to go. It's probably going to be higher scoring. And, you know, some of that production's got to go Worthy's way. Travis Kelce is still a start as a tight end one, albeit a low end. He's shouting more at Andy Reid than he is actually producing on the field. As far as the running backs, they're both sit candidates. If I had to start one of them back against the wall, it's going to be Kareem Hunt. Pacheco has just looked bad. He's not a drop candidate. You know, same thing as we said last week. He's not a drop candidate. You stick him on your bench and hope that we can figure some things out. But he's still getting 10 carries a game, just a couple opportunities under 15, which is kind of what you look at for volume for people. But we really need him to start stepping up before he can grace our lineups again, James. Why don't you go ahead and
talk about those hapless Cowboys. Who would have expected the Packers to lose to the Browns? It was not me. However, I think this is a perfect opportunity for a get-right game, provided the defense performs the way they should. The Cowboys' defense is very bad, and I might be wrong, but I think they're allowing the most points in the league. I would expect the Packers to be able to move the ball pretty easily against this Cowboys defense. So, Jordan Love, this is your opportunity for a spot start, but I really think that Josh Jacobs is going to have a high RB1 week. Tucker Kraft, he had been hot through the first couple weeks of the season and cooled off last week. Tucker Kraft is back in my start column this week. Still not starting any Packers receivers. Romeo Doubs and Matthew Golden are, both fine, but really don't seem to have the kind of consistent production to be able to be usable in fantasy, and we know Jaden Reed is on IR. Moving over to the boys, Javonte Williams, even against what will likely be a pretty tough Packers defense this week, is still an automatic start. He is a running back one and is going to stay there until he shows us that he isn't. Dak Prescott, I would consider not starting him this week if you are able to. I don't think that the passing game is going to be very conducive to fantasy points, especially considering CeeDee Lamb has a high ankle sprain and has already been ruled out. That does, however, mean that George Pickens is going to get a higher target load, hopefully. And also, Jake Ferguson is the tight end one? Huh? Yeah, Jake Ferguson is the tight end one. Go ahead and start Jake Ferguson. They're going to need to dump it off to somebody. And you also got Kevontae Turpin out there. He's not startable, but I do think he might be considered a likable little stash this week with us not exactly knowing how long CeeDee Lamb is going to be out. He might prove to do something with the opportunity. But I think that the Packers clean up this one pretty well and get back in the win column. It is a 6.5 point. They are 6.5 point favorites going into Dallas, and I think they got a good chance at covering that. Stu, Monday, take us away.
Do we have to talk about Monday? Both of these games I'm not super psyched for. I get to talk about the Jets going to Miami to play the Dolphins. Dolphins had a nice little break. They were the Thursday game week before, or last week, yeah. So good, you know, 15 days, 14 days, however many days they get to rest and prepare for a team in the Dolphins that isn't very good. So hopefully this is... I'm so backwards tonight. What is wrong with me? The most accurate and substantiative claims on fantasy footbeer. Anyway, Miami's preparing for the Jets, which is also not a very good team. Let's go ahead and start with Miami. Tua Tagovailoa is a sit candidate. He's not going to be sniffing lineups as far as I am aware. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are both starts. They both had a nice game against the Bills, and I think that can continue against the Jets. Of course, one of them is going to draw Sauce Gardner, so the other one gets to run free. Devon Achane is a set-and-forget RB1 until otherwise notified. He got 9 targets in the game on Thursday night, so if you're going to be sitting a running back that gets 9 targets, I don't know what to tell you. One guy we should pay a little more attention to and probably should be picked up and put on benches is Ollie Gordon, who actually looked like he had some juice there against the Bills. He ran 9 times, 38 yards for a touchdown. He actually only ran, I think it was 3 fewer times than Devon Achane did at, total. So someone to pay attention to. He's not startable, but always want to, you know, be ahead of the game as compared to your league mates. On the flip side, we've got the New York Jets. Justin Fields was sat for a concussion, and Tyrod Taylor drew the start last week to mediocre results. If Justin Fields is out there, honestly, I could be convinced to start him in certain situations. He did have a very nice week 1, not so nice, of course, week 2, but he could go ahead and find his way into my lineup again. Garrett Wilson, still startable as a wide receiver 1, or high, at least high-end wide receiver 2. He kind of saved his day towards the end against Tampa Bay with a touchdown, but he did end up catching 10 balls, and that's excellent for him. Put him in your lineups. Breece Hall was very disappointing against Tampa Bay, but still not somebody that you're going to be sitting. He could be an RB2 target for you against a Miami defense that is not nearly to the pedigree that the Buccaneers were last week. So, Braylon Allen, another handcuffed name that I like to throw out there. He's probably going to be on waiver wires, and he can probably stay there, but somebody to be aware of in case Breece Hall is injured or just relatively underperforming. James, why don't round us
last
out
one
with another
for us tonight.
Stinker
it's
of a game
the
in
second
my, in my
Monday
opinion.
Night game, and neither of them are good. We got the Bengals and the Broncos, and you know, preseason, this probably would have been a game that we'd be excited about, but Joe Burrow is out, and the Bengals seem to be nowhere. They seem to be in very bad shape. Jake Browning experienced the horrors of being behind that Bengals offensive line last week, and no one produced well because of it. Jamar Chase, single digits. T. Higgins, single digits. Chase Brown, single digits. And you hear Indy the dog in the background. My wife must be home. But I really hate to say it, but I think every single Bengal is a sit, and that includes Jamar Chase. I'm going to get out in front of that right now. I don't think that this is going to be better than last week was. And if that is the hottest take that you have ever heard, good, because that's pretty hot. I don't know how many people are going to say Jamar Chase is an actual sit candidate, but I do think he is. Going over to the last team for us is the Broncos. they should have a very nice week this week. Bo Nix has kind of struggled out of the gate a little bit. I think he's going to have a get-right game here. J.K. Dobbins is a start. And as far as those receivers in Denver, Cortland Sutton is the guy to have, and I think he is a start this week against the Bengals. Troy Franklin was kind of a flash in the pan in week two. I don't think he's a start for us. And obviously, we're still not starting R.J. Harvey, one of those preseason darlings who didn't show up for us. But that is all 16 games. Stu, how you feeling?
I feel a bit tired, to be honest. I looked at our time, and we're just coming up on an hour right now, so we're running a little bit long. But, you know, it's important to get through all these games, and we're going to be helped out when bye weeks start come week five. So
the new format How are you is kind of a grind, but I do think it's good that we get all of these players in. But it does make you want, at the end of the episode, a cold brewski. So, Stu, what are you drinking this evening? It's last call.
Yes, so I am going to highlight another from one of my favorite breweries here. It's the Sun King Brewery's Wee Mac Scottish Style Ale. It is lovely. You should try it. It's enticing with malty brown ale with caramel, cocoa, and hazelnut characters balanced with toffee undertones. It's got good reviews online. If you can get your hands on it, go ahead and give it a sample. It's one that I enjoy and will order fairly frequently. So it's one that I like to highlight again from one of my favorite breweries. James,
I don't have
what
any,
are we learning about craft beers from you tonight?
Facts for you all tonight, but and I also actually don't remember if I have had this beer on the show or not. But Stu, I got this beer for you. And actually, more accurately, I got this beer for your cat. This is from Phase 3 Brewing, the Hazy India Pale Ale known as Pixel. So, I am drinking your cat tonight, Stu, in honor of you beating me this week. As I crack this beer in 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. I guess a little... little information about hazy IPAs and really any hazy beers. The haze comes from proteins that remain in the beer as it ferments and are not taken out via a clearing or purification process after the brew process is completed. Some people like to leave the haze either as an aesthetic thing or because they believe it leaves flavor, and in some cases it does, but it also used to be that people didn't like hazy beers because they thought that they were like bad lower quality beers, but it's not true. They actually have tend to have like a more full, complete flavor profile. So enjoy your beers at home, and Stu, give us your final thoughts for the evening.
Yeah, so get ready for the coming week. Get excited for it. If you want to reach out to us, we are on our socials, on X and on Instagram at FantasyFootBeer. We also take beer requests at FantasyFootBeer@gmail.com. Always want to hear what you guys have to say, what you guys like to drink, and looking forward to seeing you guys next week to take us into the first round.
All right, thank you all for sitting with us through a slightly longer episode today. Bye weeks may shorten us by a little bit, but you've told us that you like this new format, and we are happy to oblige you. Thank you to Dr. Michael Stewart for not only giving us an excellent show again this week, but also for taking a look at my eyes this past weekend. You identified that my glasses are currently overcorrected. I can get that fixed now. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indy the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good time.